Before I go forward in the message on emotions and how to manage your emotions, I want to take today and kind of do a little side trip because of this season. Christmas is family time, a time of people getting together, people being merry and doing things, and it's supposed to be a happy season. But for a lot of people in the world, that isn't true. And there's a lot of people during this time of year that get very depressed, that commit suicide, that think that they just can't go on anymore. And they go through all these emotions. And, you know, isn't that the way of it, that at the time when we're supposed to be rejoicing in the Savior's birth, the devil comes at us with all kinds of emotions and bombards us with these emotions to make us feel like it isn't worth it, to take the joy out of the season, to make that ball humbug spirit come over us so that we really could care less. And, you know, a lot of times if you don't have the money to buy gifts, your emotions go into play and you start feeling guilty because you can't do this, you can't do that, you want to do this, but you can't. You know, so-and-so got me something, but, you know, I really can't afford to get them anything type thing. You know what I'm saying? And on and on and on. So the holidays are really a time when the devil gets in and messes with our emotions and makes us feel down, makes us feel like we're outsiders, makes us feel like we're not needed, not wanted, whatever. This is a time when Christians especially have to be on high alert, and not just for themselves, but for those around them that aren't saved, and recognize those signs because, you know, it's a struggle. At best, when you're walking with God, to make it through these tough spots, especially if you lost a loved one at Christmas and you really get down in the mouth because you lost that loved one and you just think about your loss at that time, how are you going to enjoy Christmas if you always have that overshadowing, that joy of Christmas? So, you know, there's a lot of things that the enemy comes in and works on and plays with. And, you know, and we have to just come to the realization that that loved one would want us to be happy, would not want their death to overshadow our happiness and to keep us from being able to enjoy the birth of our Christ in its fullness. So, you know, a lot of times people succumb to these things, even to the point of committing suicide. They're trying to even to the point of killing themselves and others, okay, taking a bunch of people out. You know, all sorts of things go on during this time of year because of emotions. So it's very important really to just take stock of the people around you and see where they're at, because you know, you never do know what's going to happen. And the enemy is always looking for a place where he can slip in and do his most damage. So, you know, if we're coasting along, having a good time for Christmas, we also need to be aware of what the others around us are like. You know, how are they responding to the Christmas season? Is the enemy stealing their joy from them? How can we help them to overcome that? You know, because after all, we all want to celebrate this thing together. I feel mighty bad sitting at my house having a grand old time celebrating Christmas, really getting into the joy of it, knowing that there's others out there that are not, that I could do something about to help. You know, even if it's to invite them in for that day so that they're not sitting alone, getting more depressed, getting more down in their emotions. You know, whatever the case may be. You know, it's something that at Christmas time we're all focusing on gifts and stuff, but some of the greatest gifts that we give to each other are not material things. They're just things that you can't even pay someone for. Yeah, they have no price tag on them, and it's because it's your time, it's your consideration, your, you know, just your thoughtfulness, whatever. You can't pay people for that stuff. It has to come as genuine, real goods, okay, in order for it to really make an effect on someone. So, you know, this season is a time that we should be giving away, not just physically in the material things, but if you can't give in the material things, there's other things that you can do for people that are even more important than the things we can buy. You know, to me, what would really please me to no end would be that my son, when I told him to do something, would do something the first time I asked instead of the fifth. Okay? You know, that would be a gift to me during this season. You know, to be more helpful, to, you know, do things that are no cost to him, but it'd mean an awful lot to me. And, you know, and that goes in other situations too, husband and wife, sisters, sisters and brothers. You know, we can give a little extra patience, give a sharing of our things, you know, things that we wouldn't normally do. But, you know, I want to make you happy this Christmas. I can't buy you nothing materially, but there's other ways that I can do things for you. So let me do this for you. Let me help you in this way. You know, whatever the case is, it could be between, you know, two workmates, you know, and on the job together. You know, well, I notice they're kind of down and out, struggling. Let me bring them in some cookies. Or, you know what I'm saying? Anything, just a little thoughtfulness goes a long way during this time of year, because some people are out there walking around feeling like nobody would notice that they were even here tomorrow or not. And for you to walk up and give them something that really is a little circumstance, you know what I'm saying, means a lot to them, because all of a sudden someone cares. So they go from nobody would even notice to somebody out there would notice. So you change their whole outlook on things. So, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, I spent thousands of dollars on Christmas gifts and I did this, that, and the other. Well, that's all great and fine. But what did you give of yourself? What did you give to somebody that cost you? Not your pocketbook, but you. Because when Christ came to us, it cost Christ and it cost his Father. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a material thing. He didn't just go out and buy us up and say, here, here's your king. Here's your savior. Here's an idol for you to worship. But he gave his son. That cost him. And it didn't just cost him, but it cost his son, because of the things that his son had to endure and go through when he lived as a man. So, you know, a lot of times we get so focused on those material things out there. And, you know, my son did give me a gift of himself. He gave me unselfishness this year, because when I asked him what he needed, he said, nothing, Mom. I'm good. And because he knows that there aren't the funds this year. But he did get something. But I'm just saying, you know, but the thing is he was good. You know, just that we're here together. You know, that's what really matters. We're here together. So, you know, sometimes we don't look at the things that really count. We're so focused on the things that we're going to lose. So focused on buying the game system that's going to be no longer existing a year or two from now because they blew it up, beat it up, broke it, whatever. You know, or the $100 ring that they're going to lose 2 weeks from now, unbeknownst to you at the time. You know, but these are the things that we dwell on and we're worried about and concerned about meeting, when really what we should be concerned about is what we can give of ourselves. Because after all, Christ gave of himself totally, completely, even down to the beatings and stuff that he took before he went on the cross. You know, the humiliation. They degraded him terribly. For what? For us. He gave of himself for us. And yet man has made it such a material thing that people seem to forget that the reason behind his season is Christ himself. And if we follow his example, we'll be more concerned about what we can give of ourselves rather than what we can buy for people. You know, some people really turn up their nose over that homemade gift, like the pack of cookies or fudge or something that's given to them. He goes, ain't got the farney out. Mommy and I just gave me this stuff. You know? But I got to tell you that it takes time and effort to do those things and to make them all nice and fancy and little tins with bows on them or wrap on them or whatever. That takes more than going out and just throwing your money down for something. So if any of you all sneer at those homemade products that you get for Christmas, I'm going to smack you, okay? Because you deserve to be smacked. It's not about the money value on something. It really isn't. And, you know, when not when I was younger, but when Jimmy was young and growing up, When we started out Christmas Day, every Christmas, we would start out with a cake. And we'd sing Happy Birthday to Christ. And we would have some kind of gift there for Christ, as in something that for the church, because we could use it for the church. And we'd let the littlest ones open it, okay? And that was just something that we did all the time. Then we all kind of went our separate ways, more or less, and stuff. And now since we've come back together, we don't do that anymore. And there's been a couple of years that I've wanted to, you know, say, hey, we got to sing Happy Birthday Jesus before we get started here, you know? And we just have it. But, you know, we really get away from what Christ is, you know, Christmas is all about. It's about Christ. Okay? And it's about what he gave for us. Not what he bought for us, but what he gave for us. That hard-fought battle that he won and got victory over for us. And it's going to last for an eternity. You can't pay for that. There isn't enough money to go out and buy that. You know, you can get the false, you know, artificial version of it that the devil gives you, and you think it's going to be good. Yeah. But once again, it only lasts so long, and the warranty runs out, and guess what? That day it breaks down. Okay? It's the same way with the devil. All the promises he makes to you only last for a season. And then those promises are gone and you're on your own. And he could care less about you. If you think that he cares about you and that's why you're doing the things you're doing, you're mistaken. Because the devil is very selfish and the only thing he cares about is himself. And that's why so many people that he infects have selfishness as part of their makeup, their character, is because he is selfish. And he only considers himself. He has no thought to anybody else. So when we're thinking about the gifts that we can't afford to buy, think of something special you can do. Show them in some way that cost you personally, not your pocketbook, but you personally, to produce for them. Okay? Could be that you knit a sweater for someone every Christmas, and every Christmas they go, oh God, what a lovely sweater, and they never wear it. Okay? But unless they have one of those ugly sweater contests or something, then it gets worn. But, you know, but these things do happen. I had a grandmother and aunt that knitted something for me every year for Christmas, for years when I was young. And I was like, oh my gosh, every year I just dreaded seeing those gifts come because they were the weirdest things. But I never complained about them. I never told them how I felt about them. I just thanked them immensely. I went on about myself, okay? And they sat in a drawer or closet someplace until I passed them on to some other lucky, unsuspecting stranger, okay? But these, you know, are the things that we have to realize. Today, everything is put on a money value. Your kids want to know, how much did you spend on me? Not what did I get, how much did you spend on me? I could have got you 20 things and spent $100, and you should be happy with that, okay? I mean, if I bought you one thing that cost $500, you wouldn't be happy anyhow because you only got one thing. So I didn't spend that much, but you got a lot of stuff, okay? Or you can get one big thing, and you're not going to be happy. If I put one gift under the tree for some of the kids I know, they look at me and go, that's it? That's all there is? Just one? Really? As they expect. And you know, it's our fault though, because we teach them these things, because we want to give to our children. We want to give to them, so we just abundantly buy and go beyond our means and everything else to supply what they want. Not what they need, what they want. And what we do is we make selfish little monsters, because as they get older, they still want. And we've trained them that they get what they want. So, you know, the thing is that, well, maybe, you know, I might get you one of those things, and then we'll have to compromise on a couple other things that you really didn't ask for. Because I just happen to know you need socks and underwear, okay? Not that you want them, but you need them, okay? So you're getting socks and underwear and that one gift that you really want. You know, and I heard on the radio the other day the woman was talking about Christmas gifts, and she said a parent should have a three-gift rule. Should be one thing to wear, one thing they want, and one thing to read. That should be what every parent gives their child. And, you know, that should suit. If I did that to my children, they would look at me like I lost my mind. Okay? I mean, you know, and then go beyond the gifts under the tree and go to that stocking. It better be overflowing, stuffed with stuff. Okay? All kinds of candies and snacks and stuff and little toys and just different little gadgets. You know, and of course the older children want the little flashlights and cigarette lighters and whatever else it is that they'd like to mess with. Okay? It is. That's how it goes, isn't it? And everyone jam-packs them stockings. They probably got $100 into the stocking alone, and then they think they got to have 20 gifts under the tree for one person. It's ridiculous. We have become selfish, self-centered people. Truly. And I'm guilty, okay? I'm guilty. I'm there because I believe in giving at Christmas. I abundantly give. And there's been many years at our house that the Christmas presents are way exceeding reasonable amounts, okay? You're talking about around the tree, down the wall, over there. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, don't get me wrong. There was quite a few people they were going to. But to look at one person's pile was amazing. Some families had that for the whole family, okay? And that's all yours. But that was the way we were, because we wanted to give to the children. We wanted to do for the children. We wanted them to be happy and to have all the things that we didn't have growing up. Wrong. It didn't hurt you not to have them growing up. It's not going to hurt them either. We have our thought process about Christmas so messed up that we don't even comprehend what we have done to ourselves. We need to get Christ back into Christmas. We need to take that money sign out from in front of our eyes. Today, this economy is outrageously broken. You know, I don't know how else to explain it. It's just really going down. And it's not getting cheaper to live out there. I know gas is lower than it's ever been, but nothing else is. Okay? Whoop-de-doo, one thing out of how many that you have to pay for every day. That's our responsibility, is to teach our children right from wrong. You know, it is. And, you know, I know that the schools and the government keep wanting to take that right away from us, but it is our place to teach our children the proper etiquette out there. How to treat other people, how to interact with people. Right now, I look at my children and I go, where were you raised at? I didn't raise you that way, to talk to people like that, to use that kind of language, to be that way. I didn't. And so, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, where'd that come from? Well, I got to tell you, I know where it came from in mine, okay? And it all goes back to emotions. One's a 14-year-old boy going through puberty. And he's got himself all messed up. He's got his mind on all the wrong things, believing all the wrong stuff and doing, you know, I don't fault him. It's a stage of life. He needs to make better choices. It's not that I don't understand where he's at. He's just not making proper choices. Now, I understand why he's not, though, because he had a lot of confusion in that area growing up. And not from me, but from his father, because me and his father were never on the same page. It confused the child, and he doesn't really know what's right from wrong now. Because what mama says is wrong, you say is right. So which is right? You know, there's a lot of gray area in there for him. So I understand the poor choices. But it all circles back to emotions. You know, it does. It circles back to emotions. It's our place to teach our children. You know, yes, I'm guilty for years. I'm, you know, in my mid-50s now, and for years, ever since I had a job and could buy stuff, I have been guilty of spoiling people, of buying from people that really I don't have no business buying for. I just want to. They don't expect it or anything else, but I just want to do it. You know, and it's like, it's part of me that I have to kind of wake up and break up and say, you know, it's not necessary. Let me do something different. Let me give something to myself instead. Let me spend some extra time, you know. Now with Caleb's dad not in the house and stuff, you know, maybe I need to spend one night a week just for him. This is Caleb's night, you know. And that would go a lot further than anything I could wrap and put under the tree. You know, or my first hour at home is his. That ain't never going to work, I got to tell you. So I'm not even going to promise him that, okay? That, I mean, he might get lucky if he does it once a year. But, you know, that first hour is never his. Matter of fact, he's kind of in line waiting for his hug and kiss most nights. So, you know, you got, but you got to find some way to give of yourself. You know, because it's easy to buy something, throw it under a tree, wrap it, throw it under, that's easy. But when you give of yourself, it goes so much further. It has so many returns on it too. Because it really does improve your relationships with people. It makes you, you know, appreciate that person more. Yeah, you know, and that's just it. Most people, most of us anyhow, we all would. But there are people out there that would sneer at that kind of thing, that don't want that kind of thing, you know? I mean, man, you throw me some fudge or brownies, I might be really tickled, you know? I've had enough cookies already this year, okay? I've seen more cookies than I care for, and there's more being made. So, I mean, I'm about cookied out. I told Teddy, I said, if I eat another macaroon, I eat 3 to 6 macaroons a day. I don't need that many, and that's only one brand of cookie, okay? I don't need no more cookies this Christmas. So, you know, but brownies or fudge, yeah, okay, I go for them. It'd be different. But, you know, some people don't like that kind of thing. It's like the friendship bread. You give friendship bread to people, some people will actually do it. Other people will just take it and throw it on the counter until it molds or mildews or sours or whatever it does and blows up, you know, and then they throw it in the trash can. It's too much work. And they're the same way about the relationships. Most of the time, it's too much work to really have a relationship. I'm too busy. It doesn't take that long to do that process. Let me tell you, I've done it many times. You know, and my family and everybody that's ever eaten it has enjoyed it immensely. So not only did I benefit from it, but other people benefited from it. And a lot of people got starter kits. And there's a couple times I didn't give any starter kits away. I made more than one batch just because I knew I was going to give the finished product away. And I didn't know no one else to give a starter kit to either. But, you know, really, I just want you to think about it today. Christmas, what's Christmas really about? You know, you see Jesus is the reason for the season all over the place. But do we really think about that and what it means? If it wasn't for Christ, there would be no Christmas. And it really tears me up when I see people writing Xmas. As that's like taking the Christ out of Christmas, okay? And that's how the world views it anyhow. I want Christmas to remain Christmas. I want Christ to stay in my Christmas. And in order to keep Christ in my Christmas, I have to get my emotions under control. And I need to realize that I don't have to buy everybody in the world something for Christmas. I don't have to go beyond my means and then put myself in debt and stuff to make people happy. I can do it in other ways. It may cost me personally, but it won't hurt my bank account. I won't lose my house over it. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times, because, you know, at work the other day, one of the guys said in a meeting that we were in, he asked him, are you ready for Christmas? He goes, oh, yeah, I got the gifts that leave you. And we all went, you mean the gifts that leave you? He goes, you know, gift cards. You give them to someone and they leave them. They spend them and they're gone. You know, I thought, yeah, it's true in more ways than one. Yeah, because really when you buy a gift for someone, have you ever watched them? Kids unwrap gifts at Christmas time. Tear it up. Okay. Throw it aside. Reach for the next one. Okay. Throw it aside. They pick one thing out of that stack of stuff to play with for the rest of the day, and the rest of it lays there in a pile. You know, do they need that much? No. Now, if you got other people buying for them, especially, no. Buy them three things. Let the other people that don't know what to buy for them buy them those frivolous things that they really don't need. You know, that's really what we got to re-gear ourselves for, because times are getting harder. And God says we're supposed to be good stewards of our money. And in order to be good stewards of our money, we have to keep our emotions in check so that we don't spend ridiculously for things that aren't necessary for people who won't care that they got them. Okay? Too many times I see people just run themselves into a rut over something that is not beneficial to anyone involved. And it's because of these emotions that we get there. Because we have guilt. We think we have to. We feel uncomfortable not. You know? It's just the way it is. So, invite everyone over to dinner one night at your house, at their little thing. Everybody get together, whatever. It costs you one night, your time, prepping everything. And this is your Christmas gift. Joining together in fellowship. It's a gift. It's something they'll remember long after the shirt that you gave them, that you wore once, really didn't like, didn't hold funny back here and bothered your armpit, something so you never wore it again. Do you understand what I'm saying? People are so caught up in the financial part of giving that they forget what it's all about. Christ didn't buy us a thing. He gave of himself. And that's what Christmas is really about, is giving of ourselves, not of our pocketbook. So all you people who don't have the money really this year to buy Christmas presents, don't feel bad. Just sit down with your kids and share with them the beauty of what Christ gave to you. And you're sharing that gift with them, not in material things, but in sharing something as a family that can be really beautiful if you do it in the right spirit. You know, I mean, don't browbeat it into them. If they're not interested, don't make them sit and listen, because they won't really get anything out of it. They'll just, this is a very unsuccessful experiment, Dad. It didn't work. You know, I don't care no more for Christmas now than I did 10 minutes ago. But, you know, but we need to find some way to join our families together, and not by making us selfish individuals that expect people to give to us hand over fist, but in a way that we appreciate every little thing that comes our way. Because we understand what it costs them to give to us. That's what Christmas is about. It shouldn't matter if it's a little tiny thing, like she said, a little paper origami angel or something like that, or something that's really big and bright and beautiful, okay? It should not matter. It's a spirit it's given in. I love that song about the little boy buying the shoes for his mama who's dying. You know, I mean, because he dug in his pockets, didn't have enough money, and you know, he was telling a story. He wanted someone to help him pay for them shoes. You know, and it wasn't the money value of the shoes. It's how he thought she would look when she met Jesus that night. So, you know, you really have to stop and take thought, take stock of what you do every Christmas. Are you like I, guilty of creating selfish people? Okay. Seriously. We laugh about it, but seriously. Often parents are guilty of that. And why are they guilty of that? Because they want their kids to have. It's not a bad thing to want, but you have to put limitations on it. you can't get your let your emotions get involved in it because, but she really wants it. Does she really need it? You know, we need to learn to come to grips with our emotional battles that we go through standing in those doors. Because the enemy has set up all kinds of things to trip us up and to make us go, oh, look, so-and-so would just love that. Yes, but you can't afford it and walk away. You know, because we just keep going back and our mind drags us back. Oh, man, that just looks so great on her. But she doesn't need another one of them. Walk away. You see what I'm saying? Every time you go anywhere, you talk to other people and stuff. You know, it tickles me. It's Christmas. Everyone's doing different things at work and bringing things in and stuff. And, you know, it's funny because some people may feel guilty about that. Like, well, I guess I should do something now. You know, because everyone else is doing stuff. I should do it too. You know, it shouldn't be why you do it. You should do it because it's something you want to do. It's time that you spent because you wanted to give to people, not because you wanted to say, hey, look at me, I did this for you. And, you know, we have to have the right mindset when we go into what we give to people. Don't do it to benefit you. This is costing you, Shirley. Okay, it's costing you, dear. Not your wallet, but it's costing you. Give something that costs you, takes away from you personally. And believe me, they'll remember it for a lifetime. The things that you give like that are always going to be there. Always being the solid rock, the listening post, whatever it is that you do for people. You know, that's what people are going to remember. That's how they're going to remember you. That's what you're going to leave behind as your legacy to them. So what are you going to leave them? A bunch of useless gifts? Or something that's going to be life-changing? Something that's going to change the way they think about things? Something that's going to leave them a better person? That's more considerate, less selfish. Yeah, really, it's a big question today. And it's still about your emotions. Because your emotions are all tangled up with Christmas, guys. No matter where you stand on that scale, either hating Christmas or loving it to no end, your emotions are all there, okay, the whole time. And you have to constantly keep watching them. It's a little late in the season for this, huh? Except for the last minute shoppers. But, you know, for next year, some food for thought. And, you know, and just, you know, tell them. I told my son early out, it's not going to be like normal, honey. You know, money's not going to be there like it usually is. So, you know, he was expecting this like Christmas and already okay with it by the time it got there. Okay, so, you know, prepare them for it, especially if it's a big change, you know. And they'll be thinking all along, I'm going to have all kinds of stuff anyhow. I know she's just saying that there's going to be all kinds of stuff. Christmas Day will be the telling sign when you see their face fall and go, really, that's it? Yeah, but, you know, we really need to give some thought to what we do with our children, with other people we know. Because people come to expect it. And if you can't constantly do it, then you're hurting somebody, okay? Because they rely on it. Yeah. No, it's not. Because especially if you already bought it, and it's going to be there whether they were good, bad, or indifferent. It don't matter, you know? Most parents won't do that though, Nancy. Most parents won't go that far. They'll say they're going to, but they'll never get it back and they'll end up with it sooner or later. Yeah, I'm not taking it back. So, yeah. And then they act up as soon after. Yeah, they do. Yeah, because my son does that. He's really charming and lovely. Then once he's got what he wants, then he can be a total opposite. So, you know. Sister Shirley, we can close this morning.